Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. 215-592-9494. Howard, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing just great. Just finished up my walk before it. Actually, it was raining. I was caught in the rain a little bit, but you know, just another fine day. Listening to, as I walk, I listen to this, a lot of the nonsense that goes on all day.
The dopes we have around here.
Oh my gosh, John Ritchie. Did he play football? I'm just kind of
Yeah, he played at a pretty high level from what I remember. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I tell you what, I barely remember him. With now that I hear him talk about, you know, when he talks about football and tries to tell people that Sean McVay is better than Doug Peterson, there's just no good reason. And then John Marks right in there, and so there's no good reason. So I listen to that, and I guess it just keeps my energy going. While I'm walking. Yesterday I did 15 miles, Joe.
Wow.
15 miles. I know. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. That's over 33,000 steps in one day.
Did the Phillies put you on their list? Because they might need some replacements. I mean, you seem like you're ready to go.
Well, I got to go to the YMCA because that's where they're going to start pulling players because they're going to be – every sport is going to run out of players.
Well, just go to FDR Park. You could hop in and play.
Well, they got some of those other people. That's great. Can you imagine Major League Baseball players playing at FDR Park?
It's amazing.
It's just, this has become, I hate to say it's a farce, because I know everybody wants sports, and I don't want people to take it the wrong way, but this, the product of all sports, now, I don't know about football yet. It won't be as good because they're not going to have enough training time unless they eliminate more of the preseason games. But I'll just talk about the sports that are playing now. Hockey, they don't even know where they're going to play yet. So I'm not even worried about that. But that's the same thing. Just throw them in the boat, too. The quality of play will be a complete joke. And then think about with an NBA team. But anyway, you asked me, you know, I can't play hockey. I can play basketball and baseball. So if they need me, I'm ready. And you know, with all my walking, I'm averaging 13 miles a day now. So anyway, when you get to the NBA, and let's say three of the starters, here's another thing to think about. Three of the starters, let's say, come down, they're positive, of your starters. Now that team becomes a farce. So what are they even playing for? It's like going through the motions. I'll give you one better. If you come in contact with somebody, aren't you supposed to quarantine?
Well, isn't that what Matt Klentak alluded to yesterday, that the Phillies are going to have some guys on the COVID list, but then there's some guys that are going to be on that list that don't necessarily have it, but they just were near someone recently that does, so they're going to just quarantine those guys too.
Okay, well, but they're near everybody.
Well,
when
I
they're
know.
Playing. That's so, okay, so let's say Bryce Harper, you know, whatever. You're going to tell me he's going to socially distance and not wear a mask while he's working out? Or Aaron Nola when he's pitching when he's thrown with the other pitchers, or whoever it is, and they come down with it. Now you got to look at all your video and say, well, who did he come in contact with? And in basketball, you come in contact with all your teammates.
Yeah, and everyone touches the ball. What are you going to do?
Are you going to have huddles for the timeouts, and you're going to spread the guys down the floor? Think about that.
Six feet or else in the huddle.
Socially distanced. Well, if you come in contact, you're supposed to be quarantined.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because
it's such a fraud. It's the whole thing.
They put together these rule books, right? 101 pages for baseball, and I appreciate how they're going to try to do this. But the bottom line is that they have to make sure these guys don't get sick outside. That's the most important thing.
Yep.
Because that's where they're going to get it. They're going to get sick outside, and they're going to bring it in. I don't think there's any way, if they're all okay and no one is sick, based on all these rules they have, they're not going to give it to each other in the park. The problem is some guy brings it in by accident because they went out to a restaurant or a bar or whatever in a different city, and then the whole operation gets torn down.
All right. How about golf? They don't have to be near anybody at all, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's easy to socially distance. The sixth golfer on the PGA Tour tested positive today. So now he and his caddy are both out. But that's just the sixth golfer. And they don't even get close to one another. I don't know how this is going to happen.
I don't either. You know what I think? It's based on all the numbers that we have, the players. Like, think about baseball, Howard. I don't think unless it gets awful, they're going to stop. They're going to keep plowing along.
I agree.
But you know what that means? If they plow along and starters and even the backups or the reserves get sick, we're going to see a lot of players. Because I was looking at the list, Howard, because every team put out their 55 or 60 player pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of players on there that the average fan have never heard of before. I mean, we're gonna see a lot of those guys play this year, unfortunately.
You know, I don't know, and there's going to be more players that bail out. I know we all want to watch something. Hell, I want to watch something on Comcast rather than some of those reruns that they have all the time. But I get it, but the quality's not going to be as good. They're going to power through it, and I've said this before. They will play. I don't care how many players test positive and who they've come in contact with. They will play. If they have to play with a high school player, they will play. And that's going to be the whole thing, and I think that's not the way the game's supposed to be played. It just, and then you can't spit. What happens if a guy spits? An umpire going to come out and say, "Wait a minute, you're not supposed to spit. All right, what are you going to do to me?"
Nothing. They're not going to do anything. They're going to pretend.
No penalty.
Yeah, of course.
How about with the sunflower seeds? So they're not going to have any sunflower seeds in the dugout. They have packs of sunflower seeds. So I guess they're going to eliminate them from the dugout. Guys can't chew the tobacco. Let them try that. And what are you going to do if they do? And then you can't spit. It's a natural reaction when you're out there. You just spit. So what happens if you spit? The best thing that they could have done, and this country just took this to, and I heard you on a promo say something, Joe, that people have to take this thing seriously. And people aren't taking it seriously. That's why, and Fauci spoke today, and I know there's a lot of people think, oh, this is not real. Oh, it's real, all right. 40,000 positive tests a day, and he said if the people in the country go along the lines of what they're doing right now, we'll have 100,000 positive tests a day. And, you know, baseball doesn't stop that. Now, okay, so you have 53 players, or 60 players on each team, whatever, 53. We'll use 53 as the number. 53 times 32. How many guys do you think are going to test positive? And how many guys did they come in contact with? And we don't know everything. They say, well, athletes get through this. You know, the young guys get through this. But now they're finding there could be some future damage to your lungs, to your heart, and to your kidney. There could be future damage. Now, athletes don't care about 10, 15 years down the road. But that's not fair to them either, because we don't know enough about this. There's so many different things that we should be doing. And we're going to have baseball, and we're going to have basketball. And I guess hockey, even if they have to play on a rink somewhere in Alaska. But
it's
Alaska's
amazing
more,
we haven't heard yet where they're going to play. I guess they are waiting to see, because they didn't want to, like, think about the NBA, that they committed to Florida, and now, unfortunately, Florida's become a hotspot. I think the NBA is trying to avoid, the NHL is trying to avoid that. But at some point, if you're going to play in August, you have to know where you're going. And tomorrow's July.
Yeah, they were talking about a couple of places. They've eliminated places in Canada.
Right.
But I don't think you're allowed to, the Americans aren't allowed to cross into Canada right now. Because of, so they're allowing the athletes to do it. But they have two, they've talked about two possible sites in Canada. And then Las Vegas is one. I don't know that Las Vegas, that hasn't spiked yet. But that's all those lower south and southwest states. Are starting to spike a little bit, so I don't have any idea what they're going to do. But I know we want it. What they're going to do with the media? I don't even think they should let media in.
Well, right now baseball is. They're going to be in the press box and no interaction. Like it's going to be Zoom from the press box. So you're going to be there, but be on Zoom.
Well, I don't think all of it's in. I think some of it's probably in the Hall of Fame Club, which is on that press box level.
Right.
And the TV cameras are going to be up there. They'll complain about that. Like it's like what are you looking at anyway? So it's guys working out, and you can't even work out the way you would in spring training. But I don't think and there's a limit to 35. I get all that. I just don't know that you're going to do Zoomers anyway. You can't talk to anybody.
Be in the clubhouse. You can't go downstairs.
Right. The Phillies just ought to, and all these they ought to just put the spring training on Periscope. Or on Facebook Live or Instagram Live or whatever social media platform you want to put it on, and let the TV stations, and that's really all the video's for, and anybody that wants to watch it, watch it. The Eagles Periscope a lot of their practices.
They do. Here's what we need. We need you to walk around FDR Park for your walk starting on Friday. Periscope what you see, and then we'll watch it.
You know, can you imagine if I walked around there? First of all, you got to be careful of FDR Park. I actually rode a bike around there when I got ready for the bike ride last year.
Yeah.
The potholes there are like craters. It's like craters in FDR Park. So you walk around there, you could kill yourself. But if you walk on the fields, you're all right. But that's what I ordered. You know, that's a good idea, Joe. Maybe I'll walk from home down there and then walk from there just to get.
See, now we're thinking here. You'll Periscope. You'll see all the players taking batting practice. That's what the people need right now is as we get set for baseball. All right, Howard, let's start with baseball, and then we'll get to the NFL coaching thing coming up. But so the big story right now, outside of them trying to come back, and they're going to have the workouts, everything starting the end of this week, it's JT Realmuto. So, Howard, last week starting on Friday, the freeze was over, the transaction freeze. So starting then, the Phillies could have re-signed Realmuto. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. Yesterday, Klentak talks about it, and everyone's all upset at Matt Klentak for his comments and you know, not basically saying that for sure he's coming back and the landscape has changed. Howard, I didn't think that Klentak was wrong what he said yesterday. The landscape has changed, and according to the rumors that were out there last week, Jim Salisbury wrote that, you know, we might be talking record money for a catcher over 6 years. Howard, if you're giving a catcher 6 years, I know he's a really good player, but 6 years, he's going to be in his 30s next year? I'm not surprised the Phillies aren't just, you know, ready to give him 6 years, $140 million for a catcher. That's a significant amount of money and years.
They're going to have to do it. People have to relax on Realmuto. I would give you 4-1 odds that JT Realmuto, might even lower it to 3-1, that JT Realmuto will be with the Phillies next year. There's no question in my mind, because when you weigh all these things, well, you better not let him get into free agency. Why not? If he likes the players here and they pay him more money, so they'll pay him maybe $2 million more a year if he gets to free agency. I don't even know if that's a legitimate
number.
Well,
and Howard, who knows this year? I mean, free agency might be different than ever because all these teams are losing money. I wouldn't be shocked if they let him go into free agency. I think you're on to something here. And then he still comes back anyway.
Yeah, he's going to come back anyway. And people have to relax. He's not going anywhere. And I know that's what, you know, what you guys do on WIP. I know I got this. I'm totally relaxed on that situation. They need him for the future. And if they have to overpay him, they're going to overpay him. Hey, listen, they overpaid Bryce Harper. All this, they knew what they were going to pay him and they knew the market. I heard those guys talking about it this afternoon. That I know for a fact they didn't want to go over $275 million for Bryce Harper. I know that 100%. But what they did is because Scott Boras played this little game, and the Dodgers only offered, I think, Harper like, I don't know, even not even that many years, like yeah, a big it, number it, for like 3 or 4 years.
I think it
years.
Was like 4,140, 4,120. Yeah, like well, yeah. It was a lot of money per year, but only for 4 years.
Right. So they didn't outbid the Phillies. Phillies knew what it was doing, but finally the Phillies, John Middleton said, all right, let's just get this done. And he made Scott Boras happy that he got more than Stanton. That's who he was shooting for.
Yeah, the so record got, contract at the time.
Yeah, record contract, but it's not the record amount per year.
No. It's actually not even that much per year. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not crazy.
Yeah, so we got $330 million for 13 years. Big deal. That contract is too – they didn't want to pay that, but they did because they felt pressure because Machado was on their mind too, but they felt pressure. If they didn't sign anybody, you know, the city would go nuts.
Well, I mean, the owner created that pressure. I mean, he's the one talking about stupid money.
You know, well, yeah, but he didn't quite say it like that. But nonetheless, that's a way.
But there was an expectation they were going to get one of
yes,
those guys.
Yes, yeah, there was an expectation. So they got him. You know, they wanted to get him. They got it comes down to money. That's all. It comes down to money. And you need JT Realmuto. So if it comes down, he says, listen, I am not accepting anything less than 6 years. And I think he will accept 5 years. I'm not accepting anything less than 6 years at X amount of dollars. And for a catcher, because I guess Buster Posey was the highest, but that was years ago, right?
Years ago. Hey, but you're, look, I'm not upset if he gets the most money ever for, per year for catch. That's what happens, yeah. Right? The next best one up gets.
Absolutely.
But the years do worry me, Howard. I hope they don't give him 6 years. A catcher, I mean, we've seen it so many times over the years. Catchers, they turn 30, 31, 32. I mean, how many catchers past the age of 32, 33 remain really productive? It usually doesn't happen. Posey fell off a cliff. Joe Mauer fell off a cliff. We see this all. Mike Piazza, about 32, 33, he stopped hitting a lot. Like, catchers don't last long, and this guy's not that young.
Well, he's got a free year because this year is really nothing.
It is.
Yeah, even if he plays every game, and I don't think he'll play every game, even if he plays every game, he's still... you know, it's still a free year for him. They're going to have to give him the years, and they will. In the end, if there's somebody else out there, and all you need is one other team, the Phillies will not let him go anywhere. Anywhere. And, you know, that's the bottom line.
Well, people are going to be happy to hear that. But people, if he does go to free agency, even though they might still bring him back, and I think they would, people are going to be upset. People are going to be nervous that he's going to walk away. And, and here's the thing. They could have done this already, Howard. Like, obviously now the economics have changed. The pandemic hit. They had to stop negotiating. I mean, they could have taken care of this in the offseason. This could have been done already. And I don't know why they didn't. My guess is they didn't want to go over the luxury tax this year, so they wanted to start this deal next year, and they wanted to just try to push it back. But, I mean, they could have done this already, and if he goes to free agency, people are going to be like, wait, you could have done this already.
Well, they couldn't have done it once the pandemic
started. No, but they could have done it before then. They had all offseason.
Yeah, but they were going to wait. They were going to wait to kind of see what was out there, and I understand that. They never expected that it would shut down the way it did, and when it shut down, you couldn't make any kind of transactions. So, but it's not a problem. It's only money. It's only money. And then in the reality of the thing, just push it out to the fans anyway. Fans are just going to pay more money. It's as simple, especially next year. I don't think the Phillies, I think their prices are already out for next year. But the Sixers always raise prices so that you can't even go by. I bet they raise prices after a bogus season like this. But the fans are just going to pay it anyway. It comes down to money. And that's what this whole thing's about. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. Right now, professional sports teams and college football, throw them in, they don't care. It's money is more important than health and safety. And that's the I don't care how many 100-page
documents
or handbooks or whatever they put out. It doesn't matter.
Well, you're not wrong, but it's on both sides, though. It's not just the league. It's like the players understand that they want to come back and they want to make their money. I mean, if the players didn't want to play and they thought this was unsafe, they would just not play. I mean, they would say no. But
some of them are.
But in general, the players are okay with all this.
I know. It's just, but it's kind of a shame that's what it comes down to, health and safety. You know, remember when this thing started, one player shut down all the leagues.
Rudy Gobert,
And he was quoted in a French newspaper yesterday, the day before. He still doesn't have smell or taste. And that's part of that. Those are some of the symptoms. So the expectations is I don't even know if he's going to be allowed to come and be with Utah because they think he might still be infected. But one player shut it down. The point is one player shut it down. Now you're going to have, you have what, 25 or 26 hockey players already tested. Football players haven't even come in yet. Baseball players, there's going to be 53 times 32. How many of those guys are going to test?
Well, it's about 1,500 players. And I would, Howard, I think on the low end, it's probably going to be around 70, 75 players. If we're going with like a percentage of maybe 5%, you know, that seems like what's the normal number right now.
Yeah, and they shut it down for one. Denver, the basketball team, the Nuggets, have closed down their training facility. It's still not open. The Nets had, what, three players just test positive? So they're closed down, and they can't go to Orlando. I don't even understand. But they shut it down before. Everything shut down. And now it's just,
ship has left port now. Now they're not turning back, especially the NBA thing. They're not turning back now. I mean, they've got that bubble set up, and they're going.
I know.
Safe or not, they are going. 215-592-9494. We'll come back, your phone calls, and we'll touch on this head coaching list. CBS Sports put out a list of the top head coach in the NFL.
Joke.
They had Doug Peterson at, I believe, number 9, way too low. Doug is a top 5 coach. Howard and I will talk about that and the dopes in our station who don't recognize how good Doug is.
I'm just going to have to rip people.
You got to do what you got to do. That's up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here. All right, Howard, let's touch on this NFL coaching list. So CBS Sports put out a list of the top NFL coaches right now in the NFL, and Doug Peterson just doesn't get the respect that he deserves. I mean, he's put at number 9 on this list, Howard. Number 9 in the NFL despite 3 straight playoff seasons, and obviously
he's number 8.
Let me pull up the full list here. But at number 9 on the list was Doug Peterson. I'll get the full list for us. But at number 9, like just think about that in general. There are 8 better coaches than Doug Peterson. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make any sense. And I just don't understand why still, even after last year, even after the year he had the year before that, I mean, it's 2 straight years that they've had injuries and they still have found their way to the playoffs. It's crazy that there are people out there that don't, you know, believe in Doug Peterson still. I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense, but what, it was just one person, right?
Yes.
It wasn't, yeah, okay. Who was that person?
His name is Sean Wagner Magoo from CBS Sports. Here's his list, ready? So you want to know who was right in front of Doug?
Yeah.
He had Belichick 1, Reed 2, John Harbaugh 3, and I actually have the same top 3. Those would be my top 3 coaches in the NFL right now. Belichick, Reed, Harbaugh. 4, he had Sean Payton. 5, Kyle Shanahan.
Wait a minute, you had Sean Payton at 4? Okay. Right.
Shanahan, 5. McVay, 6. Sean McVay.
Mike. Whoa.
McVay.
I wouldn't put Shanahan in 5.
I think
he
Shanahan.
He had 1 year, right?
He had one year. Yeah, it was a great year, but 1 year.
Yeah, but things fell in place. They did for Doug, but Doug had the, you know, they all have to have confidence in the players. Shanahan, I'll never forgive him, and again, only because I'm friendly with Matt Ryan, what he did to the Atlanta Falcons, and I won't forgive him because he let the Patriots win a Super Bowl, when he went brain dead and he didn't do the right things as the offensive coordinator. Now, it wasn't as a head coach, and Kyle Shanahan is a good head coach, but he shouldn't be 5. All right, who was 6?
He has Sean McVay, 6.
There's no way. What has Sean McVay done?
I actually, Howard, really like McVay. I mean, I have Doug ahead of him.
I do too, and I like him personally because I got to know him professionally. But I've heard some people talk about him and say, you know, he's not as good as you think he is. And you know, so I try to watch him a little bit more. But he shouldn't be at number 6. That's for sure.
So he has Tomlin 7. Mike Tomlin 7.
Another fraud. He's a fraud. He's just a total fraud.
Pete Carroll 8 fraud. And Doug Peterson 9.
Who was 8?
Pete Carroll.
Oh, Pete. Yeah, Pete Carroll's got it. Yeah, I guess. You know, everybody, here's the difference when you look at all these people. All right, number 1, he had a quarterback. Number two, he had a quarterback. Number three, John Harbaugh had a quarterback that had a good year. And I don't know that Lamar Johnson's going to be as good down the road because I think he's going to get hurt.
But, well, Harbaugh has now had two quarterbacks in his run. And Flacco was a good one, and now he's got Lamar. I mean, he's been blessed with two.
Okay. Doug Peterson did it with a backup quarterback. You know, Carson Wentz did it for most of the year, but he had a backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl. All right, so then Sean Payton had a quarterback. Who was five?
Shanahan has Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's just okay. So I'll give him props because I think Garoppolo's overrated. But
yeah, I think Shanahan elevates Garoppolo. I would also say that McVay gets a lot out of Goff.
Goff stinks.
He doesn't stink.
That Super Bowl was the most embarrassing
thing.
Well,
he didn't play well. He didn't play well in that game.
He stinks. He doesn't stink. He's so overrated. But they remember the Rams had success, and now they're not. Because they spent so much money in free agency and they knew they were going to be in trouble, but they had to do it because they were going into a new stadium. Now he's going to have to really coach him up because they don't have as many good players.
Well,
because
the depth they have. Yeah, the depth they have is gone now because they haven't had a first round pick in a couple of years. They still don't have one for a couple of years. They have traded a lot away. Tomlin had Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll obviously has had Russell Wilson basically since he came back in the NFL, Pete, when he went to Seattle. Look, here's where I'd have Doug, Howard. I'd go Belichick, Reed, Harbaugh, Carroll, Doug. I think Doug is a top five coach. I think Belichick, Reed, Harbaugh, Carroll are above him.
So you'd have Doug at five.
Doug at five.
Yeah, I that would be fair. That would be fair. I mean, Pete Carroll... Pete Carroll's kind of a strange guy, but I know he's a good guy.
And he's a good guy. I mean, that team's good every year.
We'll see now that the defense isn't quite as good.
But they were still in the second round last year.
But he has a quarterback that makes it happen for him. Yeah, it makes it happen for him. So, and Doug won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. Did any of those guys do that?
No. I mean, look at the list here. Belichick is one with Brady. Reed won with Mahomes. Harbaugh won with Flacco. Peyton won with Breeze. And then after that, Tomlin won with Roethlisberger. Carroll won with Wilson. That's it. The other guys in the list aren't, you know, McVay and Shanahan haven't won anything yet. They didn't win yet.
Who was 10?
Zimmer.
Who was
10? Mike Zimmer.
You know what? I think he's a better coach than McVay. I think because I don't think Cousins is really that. I think Cousins is an okay quarterback. I think Mike Zimmer, and he wears on people, and I know that's the knock that I've heard about him because he's so tough on people, and players kind of they can't handle it over long periods of time. However, he did it with a quarterback that's just good, nothing special. Cousins is not special.
And he did go to the NFC title game the year they came here and lost.
Yeah,
I mean, he had that team with Case Keenum in the NFC title game.
Yeah, I think he's. I don't think McVay should be in the top 10.
But McVay went to a Super Bowl.
So what?
Okay, but Howard, I mean, he's been in the league 3 years. I think Doug's better than McVay, but McVay's been in the league 3 years. He won, what, 11 and then 13 and then 9? Like, he hasn't had a losing season. He's been through a Super Bowl. I mean, he's a good coach.
They had a bye when they went to the Super Bowl,
yes,
right?
They beat Dallas, and then they went to New Orleans and won the game on Peyton and
– Oh, yeah, that's right.
The referee.
Well, because Sean Payton didn't coach it right.
Yes.
And then you can blame the official, but if Sean Payton had done the right thing and just run the ball and then kicked a field goal
– See, that's who's overrated. Sean Payton is an overrated coach. They haven't gone back to the Super Bowl since 2010. All these years, all these points they score, all these playoff trips, they haven't been back to the Super Bowl since 2010. They've lost two straight home games in the playoffs to Minnesota last year and to the Rams in the title game the year before that. And if Alshon doesn't drop the ball, they may have lost in that round year. I think Sean Payton's overrated.
Okay, so I don't think he's overrated. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good coach because, see, I'll go back because – I remember Sean, he was actually a coach here, but I remember him when he was with, was it the Giants?
Yeah, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and Kerry Collins was a mental midget, another Penn State stiff quarterback, another stiff from the Penn State ranks of quarterbacks. And he got to the Super Bowl. I remember saying to him after, I guess sometime, I don't know when it was in the playoffs, I says, you must be a genius. To get Kerry Collins to the Super Bowl, you have to be a genius. But see, I knew him because I knew him from the time he was here. You know, he was a replacement quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah, and he played here. He played here against the Eagles, a replacement game.
Could he play?
He was okay. It was, again, could any of those guys play?
Right, they're replacement players.
So, but no, I think he's, I think he's a good coach because I look at their body of work before they became head coaches. But some of the list is, it's
yeah,
just,
I just don't know what Doug has to do to get the national recognition. Super Bowl, back-to-back playoff trips. I mean, Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. The next year, again, with Foles. And then, I mean, this past year, Howard, they're 5-7. And late in that season, I mean, it's 400 yards offense four straight weeks, considering who was out there on the field. Boston Scott and that receiving core, and it wasn't like they were skating by with defense. It was the offense was moving the football.
Can somebody tell me why he wasn't the coach of the year when he now the voting is done before the playoffs, and I understand that.
McVay won in the year they won the
Super Bowl. McVay won, but he had a better record. He had the best record in the NFC. So why would McVay be the coach of the year when and Doug beat him? Again, and in the last quarter was with a backup quarterback. He beat him, and he had a better record. Sean McVay is smooth. I don't think Doug manipulates the media, and the media can be easily manipulated.
Yeah, Doug. Yeah, I would say Doug is not smooth. That other coaches are probably better around the mic.
Smooth, but he's not slick.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, he's not slick. He'll stumble over himself. He'll say something he's not supposed
to. No, I don't mean it that way. He's not as he doesn't try to be engaging.
Well, and the other thing, I mean, guys like McVay, I mean, they'll reel off a million. Like, they make themselves sound smart. I don't think Doug cares about that. He's just when Doug talks, it feels like you're just talking to someone you know. Like, he's just giving you what he thinks and what he feels.
The thing, and I've known Doug for obviously a long time because when he was a quarterback here, obviously, but that has nothing to do with it. But I really watched how players responded to him. And, you know, I don't know that you learn that much when you're on the sidelines. You get to see everything really up close, and you get to really see players. Yeah, you do learn some things. I shouldn't take that away from myself because I'm really try to focus on a lot of different things when I'm down there. And sometimes I can relay that during the game in a report. But he really does have the total respect to the player, and I just see the way he engaged with his players. And then that play, the Philly special, you know, he had such confidence. And the part of that is, and this is why the players love him, that play did not work when they practiced it. And they didn't practice it all week because they thought Belichick was going to get video of their practice. So they had a walkthrough in the ballroom in the hotel.
Yeah, well, it was smart to do that. Avoid the cheating if you can.
They always cheat. Brady cheats and Belichick cheats, and they get caught again and it, whatever. So they practiced it before the Minnesota game. So that was a few weeks before that, and it wasn't successful. Now, I wasn't out there, but people told me that Burton didn't complete the passes. And they won't dwell on it. They run it a couple of times, and that's it, and it doesn't work, then you move on. It didn't work. But when Nick Foles came over and said, you know, basically called the play, he says, yeah, why not? Talking to the players after that, they had such confidence in their coach. They want to make him look better, and it didn't work in practice, yet it worked in a Super Bowl.
In a big spot, in a game that they needed every point they were going to get. I mean, they needed to get into the 40s to win that game, or at least the upper 30s.
Right, but the point that when he does something with the players, they gain so much respect for him because he has confidence in them, and that brings in – and that's hard to do. And don't think Doug's just nice to him all the time because there's discipline that we don't hear about, and I don't even know about some of them. But they have to get the respect and the closeness that you need. And Andy Reid now has that. He's always had that with his players, and we didn't see it as much here. But in Kansas City, the stories are really amazing how much that they want to win for Andy Reid. And the Eagles players wanted to win for Doug Peterson. That's the quality of a coach. And for him to not win the coach of the year and to be ranked ninth, that guy who wrote that story ought to retire from whatever job he has and say, like, it's so foolish. what he did.
Well, he's got a blind spot. I mean, think about it, Howard. On this list, of his top 10, six of them have Super Bowl rings. Six of them. And he's got Doug behind two guys that don't have a ring. Shanahan and McVay are both good young coaches. They've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, but they didn't win. Like, in the biggest game of Doug's life as a coach, he coached the best game maybe we'll ever see him coach. Meanwhile, McVay and Shanahan got beat in their Super Bowls.
You know, I think, doesn't Doug have two Super Bowl rings?
Well, he won with Green Bay. As a backup, yep.
Yeah, with Green Bay. Yeah,
so he's backing up Brett Favre.
Yeah, right. So he's got two Super Bowl rings. Now, one of them was a coach. But without Brady, the Patriots are such frauds. You know, they were waiting to sign Cam Newton because they knew they were going to be banged for that cheating of the videotaping. What a joke. They just can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. So they threw the Cam Newton thing out there. So the thing that they get fined him $1.1 million, lose the third round pick, which is no joke. It was a serious offense. And Cam Newton comes at the same time, and it's pushed to the background. And he will never stop cheating. Tom Brady will never stop cheating. I asked for a comment from the league. I didn't know that they, when he went to the offensive coordinator's house that one time, when he went to the wrong house, and then we found out you weren't supposed to talk to the coaches during this period of time about football. He brings the playbooks from the Patriots. You think he wasn't talking about football?
Of course he was.
And they didn't do anything. So Tom Brady, you know, and his own association has asked him not to practice with other players. He doesn't care. He's Tom Brady and you're not. It's his world and you're passing through. Too bad.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to anybody. I mean, he looks like a fool, too. I mean, right now, he looks like a fool. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Howard in for the hour. We'll touch on Cam Newton to the Patriots, which was one of the biggest NFL stories we've gotten in a couple weeks. We'll hit on that. And a player not on the Phillies roster that Matt Klentak didn't rule out yesterday. We'll hit on that as well. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin, 215-592-9494. Howard, you touched on it a few minutes ago with Belichick and the Patriots. How about the signing of Cam Newton? I mean, the timing obviously was coincided with their latest cheating thing, but just the idea of Cam Newton. Well, I would have guessed, if you would have said to me, write a list down of five quarterbacks that you can't imagine playing for Bill Belichick, who is stoic and doesn't like to show any emotion, and usually his team plays like that, I would have said Cam Newton is probably not a Patriot quarterback, but here's what he is, and we've seen this, Howard. When there's former players that used to be really good and then they're not anymore, Belichick loves to grab those guys and see if they can get something out of them. I mean, they did it with Corey Dillon back in the day and Rodney Harrison, Junior Seau. It sometimes doesn't work. Like, Chad Johnson didn't work. Albert Haynesworth didn't work. But Belichick does this all the time.
Well, he said Stidham was his guy. What's his, that his name? Stidham.
Jared,
right?
Stidham, yeah.
Yeah, it was his guy, which obviously he knows he was going to fail this year. So he's trying to do something. And he would be considered a genius. Oh, he's got a genius either way, or he thinks he will. But I think they're going to fail. I don't think they're going to be as good as people think they are. Cam Newton turns the ball over too much. No coach likes that. But Belichick, more than anybody, really just – I mean, he pulls guys from games who turn the ball over, running backs. You fumble the ball, you're coming out of the game. And I just don't think – and Josh McDaniels overrated as an offensive coordinator. He had Tom Brady. And, boy, it's really hard to be considered a good offensive coordinator. You had Tom Brady as your quarterback when he was good. He's not that as good anymore, and numbers started to go down. But I just don't think Cam Newton, and it doesn't fit Belichick, but the reality is he knows he had nothing in Jared Stidham. He had nothing.
And it's worth the $1 million. I mean,
The money is easy, plus incentives. But the running quarterback thing, I don't think that's going to work. And here's the other part of the equation that people aren't considering. Cam Newton's had a lot of injuries in the last couple of years.
That's what concerns me more than anything. I mean, I think they can make a system work that is tailored more to the way he plays and make something out of it. But he's had a shoulder. He's had a foot. If he's healthy, Howard.
He's got 2 feet, actually. Well, he's got the shoulder on each side.
He does, but he's had a shoulder injury and a foot injury. Here's my thing on this. If he's healthy, if they can get him to play every week, I think it is going to work to the point where they're not going to win a Super Bowl, but they can win that division again. They could go back to the playoffs again. That defense carried that team last year. I mean, I remember you and I talking after the Patriots came here, and we were talking about how poor Brady looked in that game. Now, Wentz didn't play well either, so that was really what we mostly talked about. But Brady didn't play very well last year. They weren't getting great quarterback play last year anyway. Yep. If Cam Newton is healthy with the defense that Belichick usually puts together, they're going to be in the mix. They're going to be right there.
He doesn't have a lot of weapons. He's got some good running backs, but the wide receivers, who's the wide receivers and tight ends?
It's Sanu, who they traded for, who's not great anymore. N'Keal Harry was a pick last year, didn't really do much. They don't have much in terms of skill players.
Okay, so he's going to have to run. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. He holds the ball too long. He's going to get hurt, and I think that's going to be the problem. But yeah, as far as the money and what you had to give up for him, yeah, that's a no-brainer. But there'll always be some excuse for Bill Belichick when it doesn't not successful. I still think that Buffalo wins that division.
How by how many games? Because I would have said before 2 days ago, Buffalo wins it by maybe two games. Now I think it's close to even. I think Newton closes the gap, and they have a chance now because they have a real quarterback.
Well, they would have won it by two games, but it would have been more than two games over the Patriots. So when you say they would have won it by two games, that wouldn't have been over the Patriots. I think somebody else in that division.
Well, who? Miami's not ready yet.
No, but
the Jets
I think
aren't
the
good.
The Jets. I don't think that the Patriots were going to be higher than the Jets. But you say you won it by two games. I don't think it was going to be New England that they were going to be two games.
So you still think Buffalo wins the division?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I think their defense is really good.
I'd bet on the Patriots. You give Belichick a legitimate quarterback, and Newton is that when he's healthy. He's a legitimate quarterback. I think they'll find their way to nine wins. That might be all it takes.
Okay. All right. Here's the deal. And I don't know what I can get you to donate. You'll have to donate. I'll pick a number of how many miles I'm going to walk.
Okay.
If the Patriots win the division, I'll put the money in and donate it to a charity. If the Buffalo Bills win the division, you got to put the money in.
So is this are you base this off of not liking Newton, Belichick, or are we rooting for Sean McDermott here?
Well, I think Buffalo's good. That's
well, they are,
one.
But I'm not sure about their quarterback yet. He needs to get better.
I can't watch ESPN anymore. First of all, it's hard to watch them anyway. A bunch of talking bobos in every one of their shows. Booger McFarlane. As soon as I see him on air, I got to turn him off because he's clueless.
Do you miss the Booger Mobile?
Yeah, I miss. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going to miss him on Monday Night Football like nothing. Forget about him. But all they talk about Cam Newton.
It's a big story. It's a former MVP going to the Patriots.
How many days is it a big story?
Well, how much else is going on, Howard? I mean, that's part of it.
Well, you know, basketball's getting ready to play. I mean, there's different things that you can figure out. The problem is people in this country don't care to talk about baseball that much. You know, a good thing, and I had Larry Boa on the show on Saturday, talked about, you know, it's different now. Teams who may have been favored may not be favored because of different aspects of their game, but whatever, just talk about baseball. Okay, because of a 60-game season, who is really the team that you think has an advantage with the short season? But nobody cares about that. That's the problem. Nobody cares about baseball. So, but yeah, you could talk about other things. I'm so tired of about Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a team disruption. That's what he is.
Well, now
he can't help himself.
It's going to be interesting now because he's on a team now who they don't do that. If you disrupt anything, they get rid of you. So Cam's going to have to change a little bit to fit in, and we'll see if he does. All right, Howard, last thing I wanted to ask you. So Klentak yesterday was asked about Odubel Herrera, who was not put on the roster they put out, but they left spots open. I mean, I think all teams are doing this so they can add players and they have some flexibility. But Odubel, Klentak was asked yesterday if that means the door's shut, and he didn't sound like it was. I mean, the way it sounded to me yesterday was they are still leaving the door open here for Odubel to be under consideration. And this is the way I look at it, Howard. In a normal year, I don't think we would have seen him again. But if they have two or three or four outfielders get sick or get injured, I think it's going to be hard for them not to bring him here because he's already on the roster. He's already in the organization.
All right, I'm going to straighten this out right now.
Will we see him again?
No.
No matter what.
No matter what. Okay. Unless you lose the whole team. Unless everybody has to be put in quarantine because they're all contaminated. Which, you know, it's not, I say that tongue in cheek, and I hope that, I hope there's not a lot of guys that have to be put in quarantine for any team, and certainly this team. But there is a pride that the organization has to have. There is a pride that I know John Middleton does have. There is no way that a guy that was found guilty of domestic assault or abuse or whatever the exact charge was, there's no way you can put him back on the team. You can't take away your moral fiber to put a guy like that on the team. You just can't do it. Now, the thing that they can't say, the way the rules are written in the players' agreement, is you can't get rid of a guy because of that. You have to get rid of a player because he's not good enough to make your team. And that's what they have to find a way to make that the case.
And I think, Howard, I agree with you, and I think that they were going to try to do that by him either not playing well in spring training this year, or if he went to AAA, if this year was normal and he hit 200 at AAA, they'd have it. They'd have their reason to just cut bait, but there's no minor league games. If he's not on this roster and he just hangs out at Lehigh all year and plays catch, they're going to have no justification to get rid of him. Like they really can't do it based on what we know, what the rules are. They're kind of stuck with him right now.
Well, you got to have somebody else in the outfield that's better. That's all. You have to have somebody else that's better, and you have to find and you have to give reasons why they're better. The moral fiber of this team would be completely destroyed if you brought that player back. You cannot do it.
I agree with you, and I don't think they want to. It's just interesting to me that Klentak kind of leaves the door open.
Well, he couldn't say anything. Remember, he can't say it. He can't say no, and then the player says, "Well, why not? Are you going to tell me that if the guys you have are going to be better than he is?"
But he was asked, is he still under consideration? He could have said, we have our best nine outfielders on the roster and we're excited to go.
He left that door open again. I think he's trying to play just to get guys like you. He's playing the game. He's playing the game. There's no way it would be a complete disgrace. A disgrace. If he's back on the team, and I don't need to see him anymore with, you know, flailing away and not knowing when to run and when not to run, not paying attention, you know, all the things that he does. He's such an airhead. But he had skills, but I think the pitchers have figured him out.
Yeah, well, he got worse every season. On top of the real reason he's not here. As a player, he also eroded the last couple of years.
I don't think he'll be back. And I don't think you can bring him back. You can't do it. You cannot do it.
I agree. I just wonder if they're caught between a rock and a hard place in the middle of August and they have a bunch of guys sick and he's just there at Lehigh if they change their mind.
Let him stay under that rock.
He can hang out there. All right, Howard. I appreciate you hopping on. And any more walks tonight? What are we doing the rest of the night?
You know what? I think just I'm actually at right up against 12 miles. So I think I'm going to do about 2,500 to 3,000 more steps after I get something to eat.
Sounds good. Howard, we'll talk soon.
All right.
There he goes. Howard
Eskin. Stay safe.
Everyone stay safe. There he is, Howard Eskin. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.